So today's scripture reading is indeed about Jonah. And the first passages are Jonah tries to run away from God. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came upon the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. Then the sailors were afraid, and each cried to his God. They threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it up. Jonah, meanwhile, had gone down into the hold of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. The captain came and said to him, "What are you doing, sound asleep? Get up, call on your God. Perhaps the God will spare us a thought so that we do not perish." The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose account this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us why this calamity has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" "I am a Hebrew," he replied. "I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were even more afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them so. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea was growing more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the ship back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more stormy against them. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, O Lord, we pray, do not let us perish on account of this man's life. Do not make us guilty of innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord even more, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. A psalm of thanksgiving. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, "I called the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, 'I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple?' The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the root of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord." Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto the dry land. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The next reading from Jonah is the conversion of Nineveh. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk, and he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he had a proclamation made in Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, no human or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Humans and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God. All shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. Who knows? God may relent and change his mind. He may turn from his fierce anger so that we do not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Next is Jonah's anger. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? That is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from punishment. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah went out of the city, and he sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it over Jonah to give shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint, and he asked that he might die. He said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Jonah is reproved. But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And he said, "Yes, angry enough to die." Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush, for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and it perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I came across these top 10 signs you may not be reading your Bible enough. Number 10, the preacher announces the sermon is from Galatians, and you check the table of content. Number 9, you think Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob may have had a few hit songs during the 1960s. Number 8, you open to the Gospel of Luke and a World War II savings bond falls out. Number 7, your favorite Old Testament patriarch is Hercules. Number 6, a small family of woodchucks has taken up residence in Psalms. Number 5, you become frustrated because Charlton Heston is not listed in either the concordance or the table of content. Number 4, catching the kids reading the Song of Solomon, you demand, "Who gave you this stuff?" Number 3, you think the minor prophets worked in the quarries. Number 2, you keep falling for it every time the pastor tells you to turn to First Condominiums. And the number 1 sign, you may not be reading your Bible enough. The kids keep asking too many questions about your usual bedtime story, Jonah the shepherd boy and his ark of many colors. Regarding this number 1 sign, as long as you are not confused by Jonah with David, Noah, or Joseph, you are all good. Everyone knows Jonah. I am sure you do too. Yes, Jonah the prophet from the Old Testament. When you were growing up as a child, one of the most fascinating and interesting stories from the Bible through preschool, kindergarten, or elementary school, Sunday school, must be the story of Jonah and the big fish, right? However, this story of Jonah and the big fish is only a partial story of the entire book of Jonah. Well, the book of Jonah has only 4 chapters, and this morning, thanks to our liturgist, Sarah Overton Fraser, for reading the entire book. Thank you, Sarah. Well done. So, as you are aware, Jonah and the big fish story is only from chapters 1 and 2. There are more important and interesting stories that are following in chapters 3 and 4. The book of Jonah can be easily summarized in the following few sentences. A reluctant prophet named Jonah, despite being commanded by God to preach repentance to the wicked city of Nineveh, instead flees. So after being thrown into the sea, Jonah is swallowed by a large fish. However, after repenting and praying for salvation while being inside the fish, he is, after all, saved by God. Now, with this second chance given, he delivers God's message to Nineveh and witnesses the city's repentance. Finally, he learns God's mercy, grace, and love for all people in the end. So, my sermon title for this morning is Jonah, from disobeying messenger to convincing prophet. For your information, the author of the book of Jonah is anonymous, and while tradition often attributes it to the prophet Jonah, most biblical scholars generally believe it was written by a later unknown author inspired by the historical prophet. Anyhow, as my Lenten sermon series, Rise Again, continues, I'd like to share with you 3 lessons from Jonah's life on how God transformed Jonah from disobeying messenger to convincing prophet. Number 1, being a fearful and disobedient messenger, Jonah tried to flee from God and his mission as if he could get away from God's presence. God called Jonah and gave him an important mission. Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. In Jonah's time, Nineveh was the capital of the powerful Neo-Assyrian Empire, a city known for its massive size and wickedness. Nineveh is located in modern-day northern Iraq, specifically near the city of Mosul. Anyhow, for Jonah's understanding, those Gentile people of Nineveh were notoriously strong and wicked. No wonder Jonah would not go there, for he must be fearful of dealing with those hostile and scary enemies. Obviously, Jonah wanted absolutely nothing to do with Nineveh, so he tried to flee from everything, even from God's presence. Verse 3, but Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Yes, Jonah had a fantastic getaway plan, first going to Joppa, modern days Tel Aviv, Israel, then to Tarshish, a modern city, modern day city in Spain. Somehow he thought he could get away from God's presence. In many times in our lives, just as Jonah did, unwisely or without thinking right, we tend to forget this simple truth. The Bible says, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps, from Proverbs. Jonah believed that he could outsmart God by following his brilliant escape itinerary plan. However, his plan miserably failed, and he was eventually thrown into the raging ocean, and his life was totally in God's mighty hands. The German pastor and theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a poem titled Jonah. It is included in the book Letters and Papers from Prison, published in 1953. In fear of death, they cried out loud and clinging fast to wet ropes straining on the battered deck. They gazed in stricken terror at the sea that now unchained in sudden fury lashed the ship. O gods of eternal excellence, provoked to anger, help us, or give a sign that we may know who has offended you by secret sin, by breach of oath, or heedless blasphemy, or murder. Who brings us to disaster by misdeed still hidden, to make a paltry profit for his pride? Thus they besought, and Jonah said, behold, I sinned before the Lord of hosts. My life is forfeit. Cast me away. My guilt must bear the wrath of God. The righteous shall not perish with the sinner. They trembled, but with hands that knew no weakness, they cast the offender from their midst. The sea stood still. From this poem, Bonhoeffer recreated the dramatic yet terrifying moment for Jonah and the sailors on board in the unstably shaking ship in the middle of the raging ocean. The emphasis is on the truth that sin always results consequences that require serious and complete accountability, responsibility, and at the same time, an opportunity to be given, forgiven by God. And this realization leads to my second point. Number two, throughout his harrowing experience of being in the belly of the fish, Jonah sincerely repents and takes up on his second chance. Jonah's life and death experience in the belly of the fish has truly transformed him from his disobedience to the rededication of his life. However, his heart already became into repentance mode when he came back to himself. He realized who he was and whose he was. And he was willing to be accountable for his disobedience as a God's messenger. Yes, this happened even before Jonah being thrown into the stormy sea, when the captain and sailors asked Jonah with many questions. He answered in verse 9, "I am a Hebrew." He replied, "I worship the Lord and the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." Moreover, Jonah knew exactly why the sea became so turbulent, so he admitted that it was his sin and he was responsible for the imminent danger. Verse 12, he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great storm has come upon you." Yes, just as Bonhoeffer's poem, Jonah cried out, "Cast me away, my guilt must bear the wrath of God." My brothers and sisters in Christ, repentance begins when you come back to yourself, and when you realize what you have done is wrong against God. Reconciliation begins when you admit that you are a sinner and confess that only God can forgive you. And renewal begins when you remember who you are as a precious and beloved child of God, and when you are willing to commit, recommit your life to God again. Yes, by God's grace, Jonah's repentance, reconciliation, and renewal process began even before the harrowing experience of being in the belly of the fish and throughout. While being in the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed for thanksgiving for still being alive. It was an advance thanksgiving indeed for salvation and for a second chance. And the last words of his prayer were, "Deliverance belongs to the Lord." Verse 9, right? Yes, as we can see, his sincere prayer with a contrite heart is recorded in the whole chapter 2 of Jonah. Then amazing thing happens. The last verse is verse 10. "Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out onto the dry land." Now, back to square one, Jonah is given a second chance by God to deliver the message to Nineveh. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, 'Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you.'" Sometimes you might be stuck in more horrible and terrifying situations than the belly in the fish, of the fish. Jonah was confined for only 3 days and three nights. However, you might be in more tragic circumstances, fearful situations, and longer agonizing periods than Jonah experienced. Or you might feel that living or surviving in these days, especially in the United States, seems like going backwards, not moving forward. Everything is in darkness and shocks. Everyone is suffering and despair. Every aspect of life is so painful, awful, and scary. Nevertheless, God is righteous, just, and ever-loving and faithful. Jesus is the light of the world, and so are we. Thus, no matter what, we believe in the living and sustaining God. Remember when Moses was 120 years old and just before the Israelites were entering into the promised land. However, that foreign land was supposed to be a promised and safe and secure land, but not so much. To the eyes of the Israelites, it was still an unknown territory with all kinds of enemies, dangers, especially those people who had preoccupied themselves in that land. So Moses was addressing the encouraging words of God to Joshua, his successor, and all the Israelites at the most critical transition time, especially when they were about to face all kind of uncertainties, fears, and worries. Moses addresses in Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and bold. Have no fear or dread of them, because it is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you." This verse is a powerful declaration of God's unwavering presence and support, reassuring all the believers that you are not alone in your life journey. My friends in Christ, God never gives up on you. God always offers you a second chance. God always leads you into the path of righteousness, justice, and love. But you must be ready to change your life. And you must be willing to take God's call for you. And here is my third point. Number three, Jonah finally realizes that God's mercy and compassion are boundless for all people across the world. When I was a college student at a Christian university in California in the 1980s, there were certain required courses for all undergraduate students. One of them was History of Israel. Guess which book was the main textbook for that course? It was the Old Testament. Yes, simply put, the Old Testament is the history of Israel. The Old Testament is also called the Hebrew Bible. While Jews have 24 books in their Hebrew Bible, we Christians have both the Old Testament and New Testament, including the four Gospels. And the Hebrew Bible includes the book of Jonah as one of the prophet books. According to Jewish tradition, they always read the book of Jonah in its entirety during the afternoon prayer on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, mainly because the book of Jonah is seen as a powerful message about the importance of repentance and God's willingness to forgive. However, the most important message of the entire book of Jonah is God's mercy and compassion are boundless for all people across the world. This point is extremely crucial, especially considering the fact that all the Old Testament books were written by mostly Jewish writers who had Jewish perspectives, Jewish bias, and Jewish prejudice throughout their unique and special cultural and traditional history. I'm not a historian, but I learned that all human history is written being influenced and reflected by those writers' own background, experiences, views, and opinions. That's why almost all his Old Testament books were written on the prism of Israel first. So they were simply believing that, oh yeah, because we are God's chosen people, we are special, we are superior to any other people in the world. That's why this kind of a mindset, perspective, and attitude could lead to potential dangers of extreme nationalism and xenophobia. Nevertheless, this book of Jonah, even written by a Hebrew writer, clearly proclaims God's universal and inclusive love, even giving the people of Nineveh opportunity to be saved. That's why Jonah is considered as one of the most amazing books of God's love for the whole world. Interestingly, Jonah's prophetic message to Nineveh is very simple and short. It's not a very long speech, yet it must be powerful enough. Jonah's whole message is 40 days more and Nineveh shall be overthrown. That's it. No specific word for repentance or return to God or any kind of detailed instructions or guidance. But amazing thing happens in the city of Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. Putting on sackcloth right there signifies true repentance. Wow, how could this be? Even the king proclaims, by the decree of the king and his nobles, no human or animal, no herd or flock shall taste anything. They shall not feed, nor shall they drink water. Humans and animals shall be covered with sackcloth, and they shall cry mightily to God, and all shall turn from their evil ways and from the violence that is in their hands. In Jonah 3:10, God changes his mind and decides not to punish Nineveh because the people repented and believed in God. When God saw that how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. Even though Jonah's prophetic message seemed to be brief and not fancy, it's God's Spirit who empowers the messenger and who opens the hearts of those who listen to God's word. Apostle Paul proclaims in Romans, but how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. In this sense, Jonah, once a reluctant and disobeying messenger, has now become a convincing and enlightened prophet who brings good news. Therefore, this book of Jonah concludes that Jonah finally gets it, realizes that God loves everyone in the whole world. However, in chapter 4, even though Jonah witnesses God spares Nineveh from God's wrath and destruction, he complains. Jonah complains and even becomes angry. Chapter 3, verse 3. And now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Why? Why would he say this? What does tick Jonah off? Despite his mission accomplished, in his deep heart, Jonah despised those wicked people of Nineveh and wanted them to perish due to God's punishment for not repenting. But surprisingly, the people of Nineveh repented and are saved, unlike Jonah's presumption, prejudice, and hatred. So God rebuked Jonah through an object lesson with the visual aids of bush, worm, and sunlight. Verse 11 is the last verse of the book of Jonah and the conclusion. God says, and should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also many animals. Yes, the book of Jonah concludes with this challenging and meaningful question, not only for Jonah, but also for all of us. Again, the enduring message here is that God's mercy and compassion are boundless for all people. Of course, this amazing salvation story of Nineveh was limited within the life of Jonah, who has done his mission as a prophet. Its lesson is limitless. Interestingly, Jesus uses this sign of Jonah as a prophetic sign to foreshadow his own death and resurrection because of the expression, 3 days and three nights. In the Gospel of Matthew, when some scribes asked Jesus by saying, show us a sign from you, Jesus. What is Jesus' response? An evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so for 3 days and three nights, the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth. The people of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah. And indeed, something greater than Jonah is here. Jonah's 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish is a powerful metaphor for Jesus' own death, burial, and resurrection, signifying God's power over death and the promise of salvation. My sisters and brothers in Christ, in order to rise again from your life's ashes, you don't have to go through all kind of extreme traumatic experiences, tragedies, or disasters. God loves you more than you can possibly imagine. And God always gives you an opportunity for you to transform your life from death to life. But timing matters. Simply put, yesterday's you are gone and dead. Today's you are alive and well and still have another second chance to change your life. Do not think you still have plenty of time when you can do it later. Today, right now, is the most important time for the rest of your life. As you are embarking on your Lenten journey this year together with your siblings in Christ, may you experience God's amazing grace, compassionate mercy, and steadfast love once more and more than ever. My friends in Christ, God loves you, and so do I. Thanks be to God. Amen.